Good morning.
Good morning.
There are more people here than there were during my announcements. Welcome. And I always find it interesting how we kind of move more toward that side. So I'll have to set out more chairs on that side next time. I want to thank Reverend Lori for preaching last week. It was a wonderful message. And if you were not here to hear it, it's on our website, and I encourage you to listen to it. It is very difficult to preach to another preacher, but I listened to it, and I liked it. So if you get a chance, please listen to it. I also mentioned this morning that we attended Dan's funeral, and that's what I'm wearing this morning. I will tell you that Dan's full name was Dan Barahur Lama Temeng, and he was a descendant of a priestly tribe. And I will tell you that his funeral was glorious. There were many people there. There were many monks there, lots of candles, lots of fruit. And in death, he received many of the things that perhaps he did not receive in life. The lesson that Dan teaches me is, of course, that everyone has a complicated story, and we should take the time to listen to them, and that we all swim in the sea that is God. If you will join me now in prayer. Loving Spirit, we give thanks for the comings and goings of our lives, and the way your presence weaves in and out among us, bringing us together in this amazing tapestry of life. We give thanks for the quiet resting places, the nourishing springs and wells of wisdom, places where we may pause, still ourselves, and be receptive to your presence. May this place be such a place today and always. In your many holy names we pray. Amen. Broken relationships. I have them. How about you? You know what I'm talking about? I don't mean just intimate partner relationships, although we all have those too. But I also mean broken friendships, work relationships, family relationships, even institutional relationships. And perhaps at the very top of that institutional list, church. Our home church, the one we grew up in, the denomination of our youth, that old-time religion. And even though that relationship may be in our past, the hurts and the pains and the wounds caused by the brokenness of that relationship may not be very far from the hearts and minds of some of us, and may surface unexpectedly at a moment's notice. And just like any interpersonal relationship, our past pains and patterns, if we do not seek to heal them, may trip us up and even lead us to problems with our current church relationship, though we may not even be aware of the wounds that we still carry with us. Know this: a symptom of a wound or a sprain or brokenness in any relationship is often manifested as the desire to run away. The desire to run away, to keep the problem at bay, out of sight, not to talk about it, to think about it, keep it out of our mind, because it can be so painful to look at, so painful to touch. So best we just run away from it and leave it in our past behind us, all the while never realizing that we carry it with us wherever we go. We cannot outrun our pain. We cannot outrun our pain. Relationships are hard. They hurt. They're not perfect. They are resilient. They are strong. They are life-saving. They are life-giving. They are powerful. They can even outlast death. They can haunt. They can enrich. They are fragile. They are precious. They can kill you. Kill you inside, mark you, leave you wounded. They are indestructible. They can break. Broken relationships, relationships that no longer work for one reason or another, relationships that have served their purpose, outlived their season, relationships that hurt, that come apart by jealousy, uneven power dynamics and positions, a complete lack of reciprocity, abuse, disappointment, fractures caused and stressed by self-doubt, projection, blaming, name-calling, insecurity, superiority, oppressor and oppressed. In fact, the story that we have in Genesis today features all of those things. And then some. Let's step into the scripture a moment, shall we? Hagar was the Egyptian slave of Sarah. Now, there are ancient stories swirling around how Sarah may have acquired her, and there is even some uncertainty surrounding the meaning of her name, Hagar. The name Hagar may mean one who left. It may mean flight. It may mean immigrant or stranger or other. It's really unknown. But it didn't matter back then. As a slave, as a servant, Hagar had no free will. So when Sarah gave Hagar to Abraham as a wife, Hagar had no say in the matter. And Abraham, well, he didn't say no. So Abraham had two wives that we know of. Very biblical, by the way. Very biblical. And Hagar became pregnant right off the bat. Now, regardless of the nature of their relationship beforehand, this changed everything between Hagar and Sarah. There was a shift in the power dynamic between them. Perhaps Hagar said, you know, clearly this whole childless thing is not your husband's fault. Look at me. I am more of a woman than you are. More of his wife than you are. And when Sarah tells Abraham, I put Hagar into your arms. There's just something about that phrase, being in his arms. Perhaps Abraham was more of an enthusiastic polyamorist than Sarah was comfortable with. Then she tells Abraham, the wrong being done to me is your fault. What? I am not casting any shade here, but Sarah kind of likes to blame others for her predicaments. Can you get that so far? Yahweh, it's Yahweh that made me childless. And now this is all your fault, Abraham. Sarah doesn't like to look at herself or examine herself. The problems are all external, outside of herself. They're not hers. Perhaps there's too much hurt and pain inside of herself. And this next bit, it's still an interesting statement, no matter how it is translated. She tells Abraham, you allow me to count for nothing in her eyes. Now, why would Sarah even care how her servant Hagar viewed her if she didn't care about Hagar in some way? There are a lot of relationship entanglements here that we're just not getting. But one thing we do know, there is a lot of brokenness. And as soon as she discovers that Abraham will not intervene, then she begins to treat Hagar badly. Nasty, mean stuff. Use your imagination, because I'm sure she did. Hagar, who was pregnant with Abraham's child. Now, that's exactly what everybody wanted, right? Why is everybody so fussy? Broken relationships breed broken relationships. Now, it's so bad that Hagar just up and runs off. Now, running off was not a simple matter in those days. Weren't a lot of places to run to except the desert, which was a pretty bad place to run off to. What was the line about refugees in the poem by Orson Scher that Laurie used? No one leaves home unless home is the mouth of a shark. Unless home is on fire. Unless home is full of arguments and stress and threats. No one leaves home. So we have a runaway, pregnant, foreign woman in the desert. And here's where it gets really interesting. The angel of Yahweh found her near a spring. So, the very first person in the Hebrew Bible to encounter and speak with the angel of Yahweh is a woman. A foreign woman. an Egyptian woman, a slave, an outcast in so many ways. I will promise you this, you cannot read the scriptures and not come away with the feeling that God has a heart for children, for orphans, for foreigners, for outcasts, for oppressed, for the marginalized. This affinity comes through, despite the best efforts of some to obscure it and prevent it, both then and now. So, foreign, woman with child, outcast, oppressed. She's kind of ticking all of God's boxes here, okay? And so Hagar becomes the very first to encounter the angel of Yahweh. And get this, the angel speaks in first person. This causes some theologians to suggest that this angel is the actual presence of God, the actual presence of Yahweh. By a quiet stream where she was able to be still. So this is a really big deal. And the first exchange, what does the angel say? Where have you come from? Where are you going? Wow, those are questions of identity. They are so simple, yet they are vital for life. I could ask that of each one of you today. Where have you come from? Where are you going? Then what does the angel tell Hagar? Go back and submit to Sarah. I used to wonder about that a lot. Then I read this by healer Rachel Riemann. Quote, "When you help someone else, you see life as weak. When you try to fix, you see life has broken. When you serve, you see life as whole." When we serve in this way, we understand that the person's suffering is also my suffering, that their joy is also my joy. We may help or fix many things in our lives, but when we serve, we are always in service of wholeness. End quote. When we serve, we are always in service to wholeness. Now that submit word is interesting, and I'll get back to that in just a bit. So Hagar goes back in service of wholeness. And that is how she gets through the brokenness. Not past it or around it, but through the brokenness. Healing for a time. This time. For maybe about 15 years or so. That's how long that peace lasts that we can assume. There's another break in the relationship later when Sarah has a child named Isaac. Do y'all remember Isaac?
Yes.
Amen. Y'all know your Bible. Good for you. And Hagar and Ishmael get permanently driven away from the family and into the desert. But for now, Ishmael means God hears. Now, that semi-blessing from God that isn't really a blessing did Ishmael absolutely no favors.
No.
He will be a wild man, a wild ass of a man, a bucking bronco, a rough one, who will be against everyone and everyone against him. I have a theory about that, but it's not important. What is important, however, the angel speaking as God to Hagar says, "I will make your descendants too numerous to count." Now that's very similar to the blessing of the one gave to Abraham. It's a powerful blessing given to a woman, to a foreigner, from the Almighty. And just what is this multitude of which God speaks? Hagar is the matriarch of Arabs, of Islam. And Ishmael is in the lineage of Mohammed. And what is the meaning of the word Muslim? One who submits. Submission. understood to mean one who submits to God. Abraham's other son, Isaac, born through Sarah, is the patriarch of the Jews, Israel, and in the lineage of Jesus. And what does the name Israel mean? One who struggles with God. Now, how did the story of Hagar end? Well, not in Scripture, but according to Jewish Midrash, rabbinical stories and sacred writing, after Sarah died, Isaac, or was it Ishmael, brought Hagar back to Abraham, the one named Keturah in the Scriptures, brought her back to live with Abraham until his death. And yet the story never really ends, does it? And broken relationships haunt us to this day. Jews, Arabs, Palestinians, Muslims, broken relationships beget broken relationships through generations even, over time. But still, there is hope. There was a gay bar in Jerusalem. That in itself is enough to give you hope, right? There was a gay bar in Jerusalem. Its name was Shushan. Now, very sadly, it was torched in 2005 as protest against Jerusalem's very first gay pride parade. But while it existed, Shushan was a warm little hovel of a bar, perhaps not unlike our own Stonewall Inn. It was an oasis, a spring of life, and within Shushan, Arabs and Jews freely met. Mingled, they danced together. They kissed one another. And yes, they fell in love with each other as a people and as individuals. It was a place where Arabs and Jews worked out their own peace process with love. That's a story of hope. And perhaps our lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgendered, intersex, queer, and questioning community can have such a role of healing and hope again someday. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Maybe we are the peacemakers, parts of our community, our tribe, scattered all over the earth, speaking so many different languages in so many different places. In closing, broken relationships can leave us like broken limbs, hobbling around, limping, having to avoid certain places just because they're so difficult to navigate, so painful that they cause us so much pain. And then when some stranger or new friend accidentally bumps up against our broken places unexpectedly, we jump. We jerk. Sometimes we are a jerk. We react, sometimes badly, sometimes with anger, and we pass on our brokenness. We pass on our pain to someone else. We hurt someone who is not responsible for our original injury in the first place. We pass on our pain, and so it goes, and so it goes. If we do not heal it, if we do not transform our pain, we do transmit it. Nadia Boltz-Weber, former unconventional pastor of the unconventional House for All Sinners and Saints Church in Denver, Colorado, wrote in her book, Pastrix, that she began her new members class with this introduction. And I'm pretty sure I'm going to borrow it or steal it. It's good. Quote, "This community will disappoint you. It's a matter of when, not if. We will let you down. Or I will say something stupid and hurt your feelings." I've done that before. And so I invite you now, on this side of the inevitable disappointment, to decide if you'll stick around after that happens. And then she delivers this beautiful line, quote, "If you choose to leave when we don't meet your expectations, then you won't get to see how the grace of God can come in and fill the holes left by our community's failure, left by my failure." And that's just too beautiful to miss. End quote. The grace of God slipping in to fill the holes of our failures. That is too beautiful to miss. May the grace of the God who sees you, the grace of the God who hears you, strengthen you to be in service to wholeness. May it be so.